glad that when you look at us, our sins are forgiven because of the shed blood of Christ. There's no other way our sins can be forgiven. No other way we can go to heaven except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we come to this Easter season, prepare our hearts to celebrate and rejoice in the fact of your death and the resurrection. Guide us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been looking at the week of Jesus, the Passion Week, as they call it. And we're looking today at Tuesday of that week. Jesus is talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. And like I said, this is probably some of the greatest teaching that he's done is through this time. The disciples believe they will be alive when Jesus comes back. I think they thought he died, he's going to rise again, whatever he's going to do, and then he will be back real quick. But Jesus was not misleading his disciples, but he's teaching them about his return. And Jesus warned a false Christ will appear. So if you will, turn your Bible, Matthew 24. If you will, if you stand as we read God's word this morning. Start at verse 24. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For whatever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You may be seated. Well, choir couldn't have sung a better song this morning than they're beginning this morning. You see, Jesus is speaking to us in this passage also. And we have to remember that even though he was speaking to the disciples at that time, his words carry over to us. So here's the first thing we think about the return of Christ. And I want you to pay very much attention this morning as we look at this passage. The return of Christ will be visible. Verses 26 and 27. His return will be worldwide. It will be a public event. Everyone will see that. There'll be signs will appear in the sky at the end of the tribulation. Now understand, this is at the end of the tribulation period. These heavenly signs will take place just before Christ returns to set up his earthly kingdom. And there are many prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, that talk about this. Isaiah 13, 9 through 10. Look, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with rage and burning anger, to make the earth a desolation and to destroy its sinners. Indeed, the stars of the sky and its constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shine. He will appear in power and glory. There'll be no doubt that it's him who is returning. He will physically appear and gather believers together at that time. And notice the trumpets. This is not the trumpets we think about with the rapture. This is his second coming after tribulation all that time is gone. And then the return of Christ is unknown there in verse 32 through 44 of Matthew 24. Nobody knows. It's amazing, quote preachers and stuff, who say, God gave me the date when he's coming back. I mean, it's happened all through the years, all through the centuries. I know when he's coming. I had a vision, and he's coming back on such and such a date. Jehovah's Witnesses started that. I mean, he had all kind of stuff, said, published it. He's coming back on this date. We know when he's returning, but it didn't happen. Jesus uses seven parables to teach his disciples and really us about the future. Now again, let me stress this. This is about his return to an earthly kingdom to establish it at the end of the tribulation period. The lessons of these parables, I think, are useful. If you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, these verses are very useful. If you happen to believe in a post-tribulation rapture, these verses are still very good. Here's the first one. Jesus is very clear that no one knows when he will return. I mean, it's very clear. The parable of the fig tree there in verse 32 to 35 says, when the trees bud, you know that spring is near. Except in Chattanooga. That's the only time you might pertain to that. But when you see the signs of Christ's return, you know it is near. So people look at the return of Christ, at the parables, the prophecies, and all these things. Now, I believe that the return of Christ for the church is very soon. Now, I'm a pre-tribber. I'm old-fashioned. I believe in those things. And I believe he's going to come back for us. But I also believe he's going to come back in the end of the tribulation and set up his kingdom. I believe this generation refers to those living at his return. You say, okay, who's living at his return? Those who get saved during the tribulation period. Jewish people, Gentiles that get saved during the tribulation period. And that's the ones he'll be gathering up. These words of Jesus are evidence of his deity and power. Look at verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The word of God is good forever. What the Bible said 2,000 years ago, what it says today, it will never, ever pass away. It will be for eternity. So those people who are born again during the tribulation period, Jesus will come and gather them right before, right after the tribulation period, and he'll gather them all together. So now he gives a parable of Noah and the flood. The people of Noah's day, verses 37 through 39, the people of Noah's day continued with life, ignoring the warnings. So Noah's building that boat. They thought he was crazy. They came and mocked him, made fun of him and everything. He kept telling them, you know, it's going to be a flood. And they go, what's a flood? They didn't have rain at that time. What are you talking about? So for all that, over 100 years, he built that ark. And people lived their life like nothing was going to change. Here's the thing. We must live our life in anticipation of his return for the church. We must live with anticipation he could return for his church at any moment. At any moment. We must not be lulled into a dangerous complacency of just thinking, well, I don't know what will happen. It hadn't happened all these years. Maybe it's never going to happen. And we kind of get lulled asleep spiritually in our life. And we kind of wonder, what in the world is going on? I thought he was coming for us. He is in his time, not in our time. And then he gives a parable in verse 40 and 41 about two people in the field. And again, this is not the rapture of the church, but is Christ returning to judge the world. Those taken will be judged by the ultimate judge, Jesus himself. Those remaining will enter the millennial kingdom. So let me say this again. The people are saved during tribulation. Jews, Gentiles, whoever is remaining. The word of God is still proclaimed. Remember the 144,000 are preaching the word of God? People will be saved during tribulation. Well, how can they be saved if the Holy Spirit's not there? How did people get saved in the Old Testament? By faith. By faith. They will by faith be saved. And then he gives a story about a burglar, verse 42 through 44. You do not know when your house will be broken into. But here's the thing. I've never known of anybody said, you know what? I had this guy call me and tell me he's going to break into my house this past Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You know what? He did that. I've never heard of anybody say that before. You never know when somebody's going to break into your house and steal everything you have or injure you or something. They don't come announced. And Jesus is saying, that's the same thing. The same signs will be preparing the tribulation saints. Those people living during the tribulation will understand when they need to start being prepared. They understand he's coming back. He's coming back, and I need to be prepared because I don't know when he's going to come, but I need to be ready spiritually when he does return. Now, here's another thing. The return of Christ and our responsibility. Our responsibility. Chapter 24, verses 45 through chapter 25, verse 30, this whole section. We now move away from the signs of his coming, and he tells us to be prepared for his coming. So he gives some more parables. Verse 45 through 51, the faithful and the wise servant. So here's one servant expected his master's return. The other did not expect him to return. They didn't think he was going to come back. So we do not know when Jesus will return. We need to expect his return at any time. If you don't know when he's going to come back, you need to be ready at any time. Now, if he said, hey, I'm coming back next Wednesday, everybody get busy doing something. They get busy winning people to Christ, talking about Jesus, reading their Bible, catch up on their Bible reading. But we do not know when he's returning. The faithful servant worked as if the master could return at any minute. He was a faithful servant. The unfaithful servant worked as if the master would never return. He just lived life as normal. I mean, he knew the master was harsh. He knew the master could be, but, you know, he may come back tomorrow. He may be next month. He has a tendency to stay away for a long time. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'll catch up with my work later. Maybe when I see him come down the road, maybe I can catch up then. See, we don't know when the Lord is going to return. And we don't know when he's going to rapture the church. So one day, I thought about this a lot. One day you're going to be sitting out, maybe you're going to be at Walmart at a restaurant. And all of a sudden, people start disappearing around you. And you're thinking, where did everybody go? And then all of a sudden you remember what the pastor said that day. The church will be raptured, those who believe in Christ, and you're left here. What does that mean? That means you never trusted Christ as your Savior. It means you never put your faith in Him. And one day He's going to return for His church. And all those who believe in Christ, all believers, will be taken up in the air to meet Him in the clouds. I always say that there'll be churches on Sunday, there'll be no change. They'll carry on just like nothing ever happened. And they'll be reading newscast. And I have a weird view of how they're going to say all these millions of people have disappeared on the earth. And here's my view, so you can laugh or you can agree. Aliens came and snatched all these people. Now, I remember I was in middle school. I used to love to read these books about UFOs. Well, it was interesting. I'd read them. And it was a joke. Everybody laughed about it. I mean, it was just crazy. There ain't no UFO, does it? Now the government has an entire force, a group that studies UFOs, and they don't know what they are. So, you know, the government can do anything they want to, it seems like, and especially the media will have a heyday on that day. But I'm telling you, be ready for his return. We do not know when he will come back. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things as they were have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. And people you talk to about the Lord or about these things, they'll look at us and go, what's changed? I don't see any change. Matter of fact, I look at Christians, I don't see any change in their life, my life. Things are always going to be the same. And so those who do not know Christ think this is the biggest joke there is in the world, that Jesus is going to return one day. They think the tribulation is a hard day at the office. It's going to be a difficult time. You can't find your shoes in the morning before you get to go to work. Oh, that's going to be a horrible day. It's not going to be anything like that. It will be a day of wrath, or 7 years or 3 years of wrath and judgment upon the earth. Then he tells a story about the 10 bridesmaids in chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. The custom of that time was a wedding would take place. There'd be a separation from the groom and the bride, and then they would hold the wedding at night at the groom's house, and so they had to have lamps to find their way. And the bridesmaids, 10 of them, 5 of them had lamps ready with oil. 5 of them forgot to go to the store and get their oil. And so he's saying there's five that are ready. They're ready to turn the light on when the groom comes and the wedding say, all this, we're ready. We're ready for you. The other five go, I forgot all about your wedding. I just forgot all about it. We just didn't go to the store. And that's the thing. We've got to be prepared. Jesus says to be alert, give strict attention to his return. Be ready for his return. Don't act like it's never going to happen. Now, here's the best way you prepare for the return of Christ. You trust Christ as your Savior. That's believing the gospel message. Believing that, as we will soon celebrate, that Jesus died on a cross. He shed his blood on the cross. That's what Paul says of the gospel. You believe that. You put your faith in Christ. And on the third day, he rose from the dead as evidence of what he did on the cross. And you put your faith in Christ for salvation. By faith. You can't measure it. You can't see it. It's by faith that you believe. And plus the Holy Spirit bringing conviction into your life, the Holy Spirit drawing you to the Father, convicting you that you are lost. And there may be some here today that go, Billy, I've really been struggling with that. I go to sleep at night and I'm thinking, you know, if the Lord came back or if I died, would I go to heaven or whatever? That's the Holy Spirit convicting you that you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to put your faith in Him. So that's what the best way to get prepared for the church, for the return of the Christ. Get saved. Trust Him. Become a Christian. Then there's another parable. Like I said, these are some of the best teaching that Christ did this last week of his life. Three workers and bags of gold. Chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. One worker was given five bags of gold. One of the workers received two bags of gold, and the third received one bag of gold. The worker with five bags invested his gold, and he earned five more bags of gold. The worker with two bags invested, and he earned two more bags. The worker with one bag buried his bag in the ground, and one parable talks about, he said, I knew my boss was a hard man. If I lost this one bag, he would be mad at me. Well, there's another parable about that. It talks about the boss comes in and goes, why didn't you invest it? So here's the thing. We are entrusted in our life with spiritual gifts and power from the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And some of us haven't done anything with it. You've got spiritual gifts. You've got the Holy Spirit that has filled you, empowers you. Listen, the same Holy Spirit empowers you, raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power that lives within us. And so some of us just don't invest our lives in the kingdom of God. We just get by. We just pray. I've heard this, oh, I just hope I get into heaven. I hope I've done enough to get into heaven. You can't ever do enough to get into heaven. But do you know that you're saved? I always say this. Somebody says, Bill, are you married? I don't go, well, I think so. I'm not really sure. I think I'm married. I believe there's a lady in my... We know if we're married, and we should know that Christ is our Savior. We should have no doubt that Jesus Christ has saved us, the Holy Spirit has indwelt us, and that we're ready for heaven. So God has entrusted us with these spiritual gifts, abilities to carry out the work of God. Ephesians 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, that's pretty true. I think days have always been evil, but it seems like days are even worse. The word redeeming is interesting. You are buying up, taking advantage of the time that you have, and you're using the time God has given you wisely to carry out the work God has for you. Are you taking advantage of the time that God has given you? Are you taking advantage of the things that God has given you spiritually? Are you taking advantage of the job God has given you? Are you taking advantage of these things that God has prepared you for? We are to faithfully serve Christ until we die or He returns. We will stand before Christ where we are rewarded for all the things that we have done. That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through 15. For we are God's fellow workers. you are God's field. You are God's building. You see what we are? We're his fellow workers, his workers. We're God's field where he has us put, and we're God's building where he's building us. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will still suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. All of our works and things we've done for the kingdom of God will one day be examined by the Lord Jesus Christ and say, man, you did some good stuff. And we receive rewards for those things. And the things that we thought were good will be burned up. Now, this is not talking about hell. It's talking about our works will be taken away from us. They're not there for us. And you see, the capacity to do the work God has called us to is in us through the Holy Spirit. So I talked about the VBS worker. We need a director. You've got the power to do that job. You've got the Holy Spirit living within you. You've got the ability that you don't know you have. I think God's just waiting on you to say, I'll do that. He has empowered all of us. He has gifted us with all the things that we need to have in this life. Now, this text today deals with the second coming of Christ and the signs of his coming after the tribulation. But we can still apply these to our life today. We can still apply these. Listen, it does not matter if you believe the rapture will take place at any moment or you believe we're going to go through the tribulation. I've talked to people who believe we're going through the tribulation. I still don't understand that. I guess they want to suffer, but that's what happens. But are you living in expectation of Christ's return no matter what you may believe? Are you working for him? Are you serving him? Are you doing the things God has called you to? Are you working and using the gifts, abilities that he has given you? And one day he will return in power and glory at the end of the tribulation period. And the whole world will see who Jesus is. We don't know when he's going to return. Don't know when it's going to happen. So you can't wait till the last minute. Listen, don't wait for a deathbed confession of Christ. Do that today. If you're here today and you say, Brother Bill, I know I'm lost. And if I die today, I know I would not go to heaven. Today, you need to make a public stand for Christ and give him your life today. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to talk to you about that decision you need to make. But don't put it off any longer. He's returning. So don't put it off any longer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word that is so clear about your return. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to take place. All we do know is if when it does take place and we've trusted you, we will be with you. That's the one for sure thing we do know about your return. So I pray for that. Most people are here today may not know Christ. Lord, draw them to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and